Welcome to Sunday Conversation. It's Janae Renee.
This is Teddy Reese.
Oh, I caught you off guard, huh?
Yes, you did.
All the time. It's a brand new Sunday. We are feeling good. How you been, Teddy?
I am great. How was your week?
It was great. Can't complain. How about yours?
Oh, it was busy. You know, we had a lot going on, and so just keeping it moving.
As you always do. Yeah, Teddy, yeah, I don't know. Teddy got a lot of stuff going on. I'm not going to even put him out there like he tried to put me out there last week. But, you know, Teddy's a busy man.
If you believe Janae that she hesitates to put anybody on the chopping block, something's wrong with you.
Never, ever, ever, ever. But anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. There's been a lot of stuff that's been in the news, national news this week that we're going to get into.
Yeah, like, look, we can get to that. And some of it's so depressing, I just rather start with some good news.
Okay.
So we got a great friend of mine here in the studio today, Miss Robbie. You know, I know her from the Fountain City Classic. She's the woman behind the show. But she's also doing some great things for some kids in the community here as far as STEM is concerned, you know, and that's science, technology,
engineering,
arts and math. That's Robbie, come on, start in with me. You know, you got it. But these are strong educational initiatives that will take our children very far in life. And we also have with us here today as well. Introduce yourself, brother.
Good morning. My name is David Britt, and I'm also with Let's Grow STEAMX. And we're just here for the kids of the Tri-City to instill in them the, like we said, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and one of my personal favorites, art, and just let them see what's accessible inside of them.
Now, I tell you, I think a couple weeks ago, I had some of the most fun that I've had in a long time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that was out there, Shirley B. Winston, and you guys had kids out there building soap boxes. I mean, it was so cool to see, like, the ramps for the test cars and cars being propelled by balloons and, you know, just things that are keeping our kids out of trouble in a learning environment, you know, picking up life skills that they can take with them a long way. What's your passion behind this?
Man, you know what? My passion is it runs deep. So as a mother of seven, you know, always looking for engaging things for my children to do themselves. And so with that, I utilize that passion to find engaging things for them, as well as my talent of event management, and brought those things together to create this platform. But the passion behind it is wanting to see children just do better.
Right.
You know, wanting to see kids enhance their character, you know, or opportunities to enhance their character and to build community. So that's what it's about.
And you know, another great thing that I enjoyed about that visit was I was able to take in some of what I like to call sometimes unintended benefits.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, I don't know if you noticed it, but you had a strong group of influential brothers, black men, there helping you out. And I actually talked about this on the air a couple weeks ago about Jarvis Hamilton and Gerald Riley. And, you know, Dave is here today in his own right. I mean, he's a star here in the community. So, you know, Dave, talk about what it means as a young black man to be helping other minority children, especially our black boys that are so prone to so much these days, gang activity and violence and drugs, you know, helping them do something positive that will go a long way in life.
Well, being that Columbus is a medium-sized town, one thing about it is sometimes a lot of the people that have the vision to aspire to greater things leave and don't return. But guess what? We have some amazing stories here. We have some amazing people here. We have some amazing talent here. And when they see that talent and see that it's accessible, I'm not by any chance the biggest, richest, but I have success in my own life, and I'm from East Columbus, and I grew up off Buena Vista Road. So for them to see just those things are accessible, and then with this Let's Grow STEAMX, seeing those things that are accessible inside of them, that when you're having fun building this car, you're learning physics, that when you're making it move with air power, you're learning so many different things. So when someone comes to you later in life and says you can be an engineer, you believe them.
Right.
It's not far out. It's not over your head. You can actually be an engineer because you've done those things. So it's about identifying those things inside of our young minority men in this community.
Now, you're married, right?
I am.
Do you have kids?
I have one. I have a lovely stepdaughter.
And how old is she?
She's 12.
Okay, so when you're out there with these other kids, and I'm sure you're giving them the love and care that you do for your own, and I'm sure there are side conversations, not just about box cars, but, you know, kids are prone to ask anything.
Oh, yeah. Certainly. Oh, yeah. That happens.
You know, yeah. share some of the things that you hear from the kids. Like, you know, what excites them? What makes them want to come back and do these events with you guys?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. What we learned through the spring break camp is that kids are looking for exciting things to do. And so this was new for them, and they were really excited about the idea of driving the car. Mm-hmm. You know, that concept alone for them, you know, it was just like that's what they grasped to.
Right.
But some of the sidebar conversations, I mean, we have a lot of fun at these camps and these clinics because the students, they let their hair down, you know, and they tell us things that their dreams and their goals, their aspirations, you know. Of course, we ask them questions, but those questions then turn into in-depth conversations. And it's a great opportunity to have those informal conversations that children really need. And that's one thing about the Let's Grow STEAM platform is that we believe that informal learning is something that should happen every day.
Right.
And so it's our way of, you know, staying close to that generation, staying close to that demographic of students that are sometimes labeled as at risk,
right.
You know, and being able to answer the questions that they may have that, you know, with regards to what their future can be, you know, helping to shed some light on that for them. So through those informal conversations.
You know, studies show that an engaged child is a productive and successful child.
Right.
And over the last 6 or 7 years, you know, unfortunately, because of budget restraints with the city, we have seen recreational centers closing in key communities and parks that unfortunately are not no longer concentrated with the activities that they used to do at these parks for our children. And that's why I think it's so important that, you know, an organization like yours, you're stepping up to the plate, mm-hmm. and you're saying we can help provide these activities for our children. Not only that, they're vital.
Yes.
They're essential.
Extremely.
So talk to our listeners about how they can get involved, whether it's financially, whether it's volunteering time. You know, if you feel you could be a big brother or a big sister in these children throughout the process, what can they do to engage with you guys?
Well, certainly. Thank you for that opportunity. Well, first, you know, doing an activity like this takes community support, takes family support. And so we welcome families to get in contact with us. If you're looking to get in contact or engage your students in these activities, which is soapbox racing. And soapbox racing has been around for years. I mean, well over 70 years. In fact, we used to have a soapbox racing league here in Columbus. One of the things that we recognized right off the bat is that if we were going to bring this back to Columbus, we had to make it relevant and we had to make it accessible for all students. And I say that because a soapbox derby car starts at about $800.
Mm-hmm.
So we recognize that that is not an expense that most parents want to take on right away, especially for something that's new. However, we also recognize that there is a lot of educational value in the activity itself. And so what we are asking the community is to help us provide this activity for mm-hmm. the students through sponsorship. So you can sponsor a racer clinic or you can sponsor a racer car. You can have your logo from your business on the racer car. The students will work together with us at the clinics and we'll build the car with them. And then this is all leading up or culminating to a community soapbox derby race. And it's a way of just doing something, you know, that is meaningful, that is engaging, and that lets kids be kids, mm-hmm. you know? We gotta mm-hmm. let them be kids.
That's right.
And so by doing this activity or by participating in this activity, we believe that they'll gain a lot out of it, and it will help not only build their character, but it connects them to the community.
And it also gets them back involved again. I remember as a child, if I had a flat tire on my bicycle, I mean, speaking
Come
of
on
bikes,
now.
Kids don't even ride bikes anymore. Well, but if I had a flat, you know, I had to get out that gallon bucket of water and shuffle that inner tube until I found that leak. And
hello. How about the broken chain?
Oh, my God.
Okay. I remember how reckless we used to be.
You know,
riding bikes with no chains down the hills.
What you talking
you
about?
Know,
in a race.
Exactly.
You know, like, how am I going to stop?
Hello.
You know, but that was a part of growing and developing learning to be independent.
That's right.
And we don't teach. We're having a hard time translating that to our children these days. Are there any special events coming up soon that you guys want to make us aware of?
Certainly. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. So first one is May 13th and 20th. They're going to be at the 29th Street Recreation Center, and they're going to be from 3 to 6 p.m.
And they're free.
And they're absolutely free. Touch your neighbor and say free.
Free.
The next one is June 3rd and June 10th, and that's going to be at the Northside Recreation Center, and again from 3 to 6. We're having them in different places on different dates. We want to get the whole community out there to come
right.
take part.
And this is like what happened at Shirley B. Winston, right?
Exactly.
Is there a number or a website or Facebook page where someone can go and take a look at this information?
Certainly. We have a Facebook page. It's at Let's Grow Steam X. We have a website, which is www.letsgrowsteam.org. So that's STEAM, STEAM. Don't forget the arts. And then we do have a phone number, 706-577-3409.
What's that number again?
706-577-3409. And Teddy, I want to add that in order for children to participate, we do have to have them register online.
Okay.
And you can find those links on Facebook or go directly to our website.
And the website, one more time.
www.letsgrowsteam.org.
.org. All right. Well, I just want to thank you guys for what you're doing. I
thank mean, you
your
for
passion,
allowing us to be here.
Your passion for our children is evident, and the fact that, you know, you both have some very strong and mature kids on your own.
Yes.
But you're taking time out to make sure that other folks' children get the opportunity to
it
be
takes
successful.
A village.
And to be great. It takes a village.
It takes a village.
And we knew that before Hillary Clinton wrote the book.
Come on.
I will forever say
Come
that.
On.
Because,
we
you know,
are the village.
New to our community. We are the
Hello.
Village. All right. We done found City Village. Well, thank you guys again so much.
Thank you.
I look forward to future events. Robin, make sure you remind me now.
I certainly will.
Because be there.
I certainly will.
All right.
Thank you,
in the soapbox.
Yeah,
Come
oh,
on.
Oh,
you can
oh,
kick it off
oh,
for
no.
us now.
I probably won't fit in the soapbox, bro. I need to do a couple sit-ups. Run behind the box
oh,
is what
no,
I'm
no, no. We have a box certainly for you.
A super-sized box.
Super-sized.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank
right,
you.
Thank you. God bless.
More Sunday Conversation is on the way with Teddy Reese and Janae Renee. Stick with us.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind. I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me, so I was relieved to find that treatments for some forms of AMD are available, and research for additional treatments is underway. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation. Janae, Renee.
And this is Teddy Reese.
I kind of disappeared for a second. I'm sorry, I had to handle some things. But you know what? You can handle it on your own, Teddy. That's why I felt comfortable with you doing it.
We had a great conversation with some individuals that are doing amazing things for our children. And, you know, when it comes to the kids and when it comes to the youth, Teddy Reese is a fan. So
I love
to hear great things. Of course, you are too. Mm-hmm. So it was no problem having that conversation because, you know, I don't know if you've noticed some of the things going on this week, but, you know, I'm just so concerned about our youth because there's so much going on in the news.
Right.
You know, so much tragedy and so much death. And unfortunately, we've had a lot of senseless killings here in Columbus.
I know, I was watching.
Just in the past week.
Right. And then on the news, and the last time I watched the news, they were saying it was three people have been shot on. Is it, I always say this street right. Is it Cassette or wrong? Is it Cassette or Casita?
Casita.
Casita Road. Like in a span of, 72 hours or something like that?
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. I don't really know what. I'm not familiar with that area,
right?
But that in no way, I don't care where it's at, is good.
It's not good at all. And that's what we got to get to the bottom of. We got to figure out what the problem is, and how do we empower our community leaders to take back our communities again? I mean, you know, we don't live in a lawless society. Mm-hmm. We have rules. Mm-hmm. We have regulations that we have to follow. And, you know, and it creates a sense of peace and safety for everyone. And, you know, and I just think about the residents who has lived in that area all of their lives, who purchased that dream home there on Casita Road, whether it was, you know, 30, 40 years ago,
right,
and who's retired and don't have the means to just up and leave.
And move, right.
You know, we they deserve better than this.
And I want to go back to you saying the safety of it and us feeling safe and being safe. And also in the news, I was watching, I think the trial for the Peachtree Mall shooting was set to start this week or something like that. And that, I think I'd been here maybe 6 months when that happened. And that really bothered me because it was in the mall. It was in the mall at a prime time. I think it was a Saturday or a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see a lot of the parents rushing back to the mall because they had dropped their kids off there earlier in the day just to hang out, which, you know, we all were teenagers before. We lived at the mall.
Right.
So a place where you should be able to drop your kids off safe, a shooting takes place. And not outside. But inside.
On the inside.
Yeah, so it's like...
And, you know, and it's
that
happening.
That taints the youth, though. Like, it has nothing... They don't feel safe anywhere.
Right.
And it means you cannot be a kid. Like, I would have never thought when I was a teenager, I never dreamed of a shooting taking place in a mall. It just wasn't my reality. And I went to just about every mall in the city of St. Louis, the good, the bad. But it was just... It just didn't happen.
Right.
You know, now, it probably will happen. It more than likely, it's something that would happen or probably have already happened in St. Louis. But as a teenager, I didn't have to worry about that. My mom knew if she dropped me off there, mm-hmm. if she dropped me off at the skating rink,
mm-hmm.
I was safe.
Right. Right. And you know, and that's what many parents here want to believe too. You know, they want to think and know that their children are safe. And so this creates a challenge. And I can't imagine what's going through some of the minds of the individuals that are committing these acts. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what is there to claim or accomplish when this is done? I mean, who desires to spend the rest of their life in jail?
In jail, right.
You know, like oh my God.
Empathy. How can you take a life and think nothing of it?
It shook me to my inner core to watch that coward, I'm not even going to call his name, I'm not going to give him justice, that coward from...
Don't tell me you watched
up
the
there
video.
In what was it? Ohio? Was it Ohio?
Yes, yeah. Don't tell me
in
you
Ohio,
watched it.
I watched the video.
Oh, no, I couldn't do it.
I watched the video because, to me, watching that video wasn't an endorsement of him at all. Watching that video, to me, was understanding and feeling the pain of that elderly man, you know, just seconds before he pulled the trigger, you know, and realizing that this is going to be his last moments here on earth. And you know, it makes you, hopefully something like that will cause some pause to the people that cause this type of damage.
Well, you know what? Because I don't even think it does. It's weird because I don't even think it. And this, first of all, speaking on the victim was 74-year-old Robert Godwin Sr. And this story has bothered me. It's probably the number one story to bother me this week. Like, just with you bringing it up right now, it just kind of makes me cringe. I didn't watch the video, but I've seen, you know, looking at stories and you see the picture of probably what the moment of him getting ready to lose his life. I think he's lifting his hand up with the, he has a bag or something in his hand. So I cannot fathom what that man, my elder, was thinking at that moment, minding his business, coming home from Christmas dinner. But all that to say, a lot of the youth shared this video. So to me, it's like this stuff is, it does not bother them. And I don't know how to get them to understand, to have some type of empathy or something. You shared the last moments of this man's life. Well, and you had a lot of their family coming out, Mr. Godwin's family coming out on social media saying, please stop sharing a video of my father, of my grandfather losing his life.
Right. Now, I didn't watch it on in his actual Facebook feed. I happened to watch it as it was embedded in a news article. That
right,
was,
so
that,
you probably didn't get that. I'm saying people were sharing the actual.
The actual.
Facebook took a too long to it down.
3 hours to take it down.
Cause and I'm upset because I tried to upload a video singing Isley Brothers one day and it didn't even last 10 seconds.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But this man being murdered lasted 3 hours. And Mark Zuckerberg did come out, issue an apology, saying that Facebook does need to be better. Yeah. Okay. But you saw it in a news thing, so I'm pretty sure you didn't see everything. But the Facebook Live video that stayed up, thousands of people shared that.
This point, they had copied the video. So even though Facebook had taken that link down, anyone who had snatched a copy of that video is still there. Mm. So even, you know, unfortunately, you probably can Google it and find it in sources right now. But I also watched the other videos of him talking about his issues and his problems. And people, you know, there are some people that want to trend toward the conversation of mental illness. But I don't think there was mentally anything wrong with this guy. I mean, this guy had an education and credentials.
Work at a mental
counsel other people. Yes, you are a counselor.
Like, right.
You know better. What you did was you just took this 72-year-old man who had just left Easter dinner with his family the day that the Lord rose from his grave. You took this 72-year-old man who's probably labored under all type of conditions growing up as a young black man in America to feed, to protect, and to provide for his family, setting a positive example, trying to keep his own children out of the hands of gangs and drugs and everything else. And now he's living in his glory days where he's retired,
right,
and he can take a leisure walk home from Easter dinner to never return, to only be treated
with
a bullet in the head by an individual who thinks that putting on for Facebook is more valuable than life itself. Get out of here with that. I don't want to hear that. No one wants to hear that. That's not life. If you want to do something great for him, if he looked like he was tired, pick him up and take him home. Thank him for being on the front lines. Any older black male in society that are still here and that can still walk and that can still converse and that can still contribute to society, thank them for carrying the mantle, because without
older black
men and older black women, we would not be here.
Yes.
I can only imagine what that man probably participated with during times of civil rights and other movements. He probably saw Dr. King with his own eyes. And this clown.
And to be taken out.
Encouraging, you know, these type of activities around the country. You know, it's just, you know, gun violence is becoming too much. And, you know, as an attorney, I fully and thoroughly understand the Second Amendment right. I appreciate that right myself, because I too want to be able to protect my family.
All right.
You know, you come up in my house, it's going to be an issue. Especially if I feel like you're endangering us.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
you know, so I understand the meaning of that Second Amendment right, but we gotta have a more constructive and reasonable conversation around what we do to rein in some of this violence that we see and what's propelling it. You know, and why are we finding so many young people dead? I mean, gone. For no reason.
No reason. That's the thing. There's no reason for it.
This past week has been the rest in peace, rest in heaven week on Facebook. Because almost every day I'm seeing a new message. Somebody's consoling, or somebody, you know, somebody's crying, or somebody's upset, or somebody's petrified, or somebody's just outright angry because of someone taking someone else's life.
Yeah.
And then to do it in such brutal way. I mean, there was one incident this past week where, you know, this guy seems to be respected by quite a few, and he was a barber. I mean, he found this body in a church parking lot.
I heard about that.
In a church parking lot. You know, it's just, you know, when I'm talking to some of the elder statesmen of our community, you know, some people, deacons at my church, and, you know, some of our elected officials, and some older community leaders, stakeholders, those unsung heroes that don't necessarily have to have a pat on the back because they're just doing what they're doing, just trying to hold a community together. Mm-hmm. When I talk to them, I can no longer pretend to not understand their concern with the younger generation. I can no longer pretend that I don't understand the foundation of why they worry. And why they are right concerned.
As they should be. I'm concerned. I'm not an elder and I'm concerned.
You know, and they've seen us come so far. They've seen us acquire the rights that we have now and the ability to seek an education and the ability to live in certain parts of towns and the ability to shop at any store we want to. The ability to eat a hamburger at any damn counter we want to.
Yep.
And we're gonna just throw all that away? Are we gonna say all that was pointless?
I don't think the youth realize or even recognize what was done for us. I don't know how to make them. You can sit here and say there needs to be more Black history programs in school. There needs to be, you know, more this and that. But I just don't think they get it. And sometimes I think they don't want to get it. They're so... Social media, we're in the social media world.
Uh-huh.
And social media, to me, sometimes does more damage than good.
Right, right.
And whereas, I guess for us as youth, one, we probably read more when we were younger. Sure we didn't have all of these other distractions as far as phones, tablets, and all of this stuff as a kid. When you see a 10-year-old with a tablet and a cell phone, that's a problem to me. And they sit on there and they play games or they text them back and forth or they're on social media. So one, they're not out in the real world, so to speak. Two, no one's teaching them anything about the history outside of what they may learn a month in school in February.
Exactly.
That's it.
And unfortunately, because of what you just articulated and because of what we've been talking about so far in this last piece of the segment, we're seeing a divide in the African-American community. We're seeing, and this is not to steal anything from Tyler Perry, but we're seeing the development of the haves and the development of the have-nots. We are. We're seeing a society of African-Americans that are minorities that are feeling like, I'm tired of that foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to associate with them. I don't want to be bothered by them. I'm going to move out of those communities. I'm going to live amongst people who probably don't necessarily have my best interest in mind, but I'm going to stay with them because at least I know my child will be safe.
Right.
And I'm going to keep my job, and I could just go on with my life ignoring that.
And see, that I think that's the problem. I don't fault people for doing it because I understand it, especially when they have kids.
Right.
But I think that that's a problem because, and I'm going to take it back, and I wish we had more time to talk about the story. The judge who was found dead in the Hudson River.
Yes.
New York, for the life of me, her name.
The first Muslim judge.
Yes.
First Muslim judge.
Her name is escaping me. But all that to say, she lived in a home in Harlem, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. But the one of the guys who lived near her for 20 years basically said that she lived there through it all. When it was good, when it was bad, and when it transferred back over to good, she still stayed. She could have went anywhere. And she had another property somewhere else, but she stayed right there in the community.
She stayed.
When it got bad, and we all know how bad, or we read about how bad it got in Harlem at one point, she still stayed in that same place. Up until she died, she still had her place right there. She stayed. So I think that that's what we have to do is stay in it. I understand when people want to leave out, mm-hmm. but we have to stay in it and figure out something.
You're absolutely right. And it creates a challenge. And of course, you know, and you're not either. Neither one of us is endorsing what's happening.
Right.
But we're basically analyzing what we see going on in the community. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when that happens, that pulls resources away from us to be able to fight the problem that exists. You know, and wow, I just under this current presidential administration, and I know you don't want to talk about politics, and I'm not, but I'm very concerned about many of the resources and finances that have been used to support a lot of low-income folks, mm-hmm. especially in some of our major cities. If they start cutting housing vouchers and they start cutting food stamps and they start cutting, you know, other type of government assistance, what are we going to do? What are we going
to
do?
That's a good and bad thing to me, because sometimes I think we use those things as a crutch.
Absolutely we do.
So,
but if we don't have a plan in place to help those people transition,
that's true.
We're creating a disastrous result if we just instantly cut it off without being smart about it. I don't believe in just, you know, the cyclical cycles, perpetual cycles that we see sometimes of generation after generation after generation after generation. You know, my family has this apartment here. We've had it our entire lives. Mm-hmm. We should want our people to grow towards and embrace sustainability.
Yeah.
You know, to be business owners, to be homeowners, to have ventures that you seek. You know, and yet we set our priority on who can do the latest dance the best. I mean, we even have shake-offs at the clubs and everybody put on, you know, the tightest cats.
Who can get the most likes on Instagram.
And everything else. You know, how do we hit the reset button on our priorities?
You know what, Teddy? That's a great question, and it's a great way to end the show.
Yes, it is.
We want all of our listeners to let's try to figure it out together. Think on that question.
Like, how do we hit the reset button on our priorities? And you know what?
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to start with that question. And we may even have a guest or two here to help us talk about it.
We're going to need you to remember the question.
Oh, I won't forget that question because that's something I think about all the time. Mm-hmm. How do we hit the reset button on priorities in the minority community?
And if you're listening and you're on Facebook, send myself or Teddy a message. If you have an answer, we'll read it off on air next Sunday. We'll do
that's
that.
Right.
You can find me at Janae Renee, JaneeReneE.
And I'm Teddy Reese. That's TeddyReese. I do have a public Facebook page, so you can send me a message and you can find my information. Now, I am at 5,000 friends, so don't send no friend requests.
So they
won't let me get any more friends on Facebook unless you go to my other page. I do have another political page that you can go like that all day, but as far as my personal page, I can't. But send me a message.
Yeah,
send me a message.
We can both get messages.
And let's talk about it. Because this is serious, and it's going to require...
And I want to know what the community thing, because you and I might think that we need to reset it this way, and they may say, no, Janae and Teddy, it should be done this way.
So absolutely,
definitely, we want you all to get involved on that, and we'll read your comments live on air.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
All right, let's get off into enjoying the rest of our Sunday. I need a massage or something, Teddy. I think that's what I need to find. I need to find a good place here in Columbus.
Do you all want a happy finish?
Possibility.
And it's Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese
and Janae Renee.
We'll see you next Sunday. Take care.
The views and expressions of Sunday Conversation are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporation, advertisers, nor their staff.